All right. Thank you to Brother Ray and his wife, Vicki Lahr, being a blessing with the music. Thanks to Brother Ray Robinson in the back with the sound. Thank you, brother, for being a help and a blessing. And I know Brother Jason Jones would be here. He's just a little under the weather, so pray for him as well. And we're missing you this morning. All right. This is all kind of just a little unusual. Everything is just happening so quickly. A little strange. It takes me back to the end of March and in April when we were doing this for a good 6-7 weeks. So what I'd like you to do is we're going to go ahead and we'll get into the message now. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. This is a fairly well-known parable. It's the parable of the rich fool. So many of us, I think, are familiar with this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. And we'll take a look at verses 15 through 21. In fact, let's go back two more verses to verse 13. Because this is what really prompts him to bring forth this parable. It says here in verse 13, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him," the Lord Jesus said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" That's pretty interesting. This man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got an inheritance issue and how it's going to be divided, and he's asking the Lord to kind of take over and deal with this. And the Lord says, no, that's going to be your issue. I mean, he's talking to the Lord of glory, but the Lord says, no, you handle this. Now, it prompts the Lord to go into this parable now, and he says this in verse 15, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." With that, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and Lord, under some different circumstances here, as we don't have anybody here in the building, but just a few, and everybody is at home watching a live stream, takes us back to earlier in the year or last year. And Lord, we just pray that your hand would be upon it. Thank you for the ability to be able to do this so that people can watch and take part in this service today. So we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to gather together in that manner. And so we would just ask that your hand would be upon us today, be upon me as I open up your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we had to just sing and to praise you. And now as we look into your word and we look at this matter of covetousness that you brought before the disciples and those that were around listening, we pray that you would speak to our hearts as we're going through certainly an unsettling time, a difficult time. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn how to put our faith and trust in you. And we pray that in this message and throughout this time that Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified. I pray that certainly that's the desire of my heart. I pray I wouldn't get in your way today. I pray that you'd help me to say the things that you would want me to say. And I pray that you'd speak to hearts and minister and be here in our midst today. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so again, this parable, I'm sure, again, it's familiar to you. And as we've gone through it, you probably said, oh yeah, I've read through that many, many times. So we have this man whose ground brings forth, as the Bible says here, plentifully. Just, he had a great abundance. And he says to himself, he asked himself this question, well, what shall I do? What am I going to do with all of this increase? And then he comes to the conclusion, well, I'm just going to build bigger barns. I'm just going to be able to house all of this plentifulness, and I'll put it into bigger barns. And then I will just eat off the fat of the land, is what he's saying. I will eat, drink, and be merry. And that's what he was planning on doing. But God had something, God had his own response to this. And verse 20, basically, the Lord says to him, thou fool. You're a fool to put all your trust in all of this. And you know, that is where so many people have gone down this same road, putting all their trust in accumulating material goods. I can't help but think of athletes. I think of these massive contracts that athletes sign. It was just a few years ago, three years ago, that LeBron James signed a contract with the Lakers for 4 years. And I know I believe it was $154 million. So that kind of comes to about $38 million a year. Wow, you wonder if they'd be able to make ends meet with that, right? Now, you know, and then he's extended this contract another couple years. And of course, he's a great basketball player, but another couple years for another $85 million. That's $42+ million a year. So that's a whole lot, in his bank account. And I'm not just putting it on LeBron James, but we all have a tendency to want to just kind of, you know, get all that we can all that we get and hold on to it. There's a bit of a hoarder in every one of us. And we've heard that little statement. I've seen it on bumper stickers. He who dies with the most toys wins. And so there's a lot of folks that are looking toward material goods and gathering of material goods to put their comfort in. Others put their trust in other things. Some put their trust in their lifestyle. Some in their pedigree. You know, you've heard it ain't much if it ain't Dutch. Right? Some people like to throw those things out. Some put it in their spiritual pedigree, their religion. They've always been this religion, and that's where they're going to stay. And they put their stock into that and their confidence into that. Or maybe it's just been placed into good works. You know, the good works that maybe you've done. Maybe somebody listening today, you've put all your confidence in the things that you've done for others. And that's not a bad thing, but getting to heaven, it won't get you there. So many people have put their trust in good works. Some people just in crazy thinking, like everybody's going to get to heaven. I've heard that time and time again. Now, the Bible says that they are all gone out of the way. That's talking about every one of us. We've all gone out of the way. We've gone away from what God has told us to do. Romans chapter 3 tells us that. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there are a lot of roads that people travel on in ways of putting their confidence in. So the Lord Jesus Christ took this opportunity to talk to his disciples and to the other folk that were around him about the trap of covetousness, about not putting their confidence in the things of this life. It's so easy to do. Great verses, 1 Timothy, you might want to write this down. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7 says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Boy, that's very, very sobering when you think about it, that godliness with contentment, that's great gain. That is greater than having a huge bank account. Being content with what God's given to us. And then understanding very, very clearly that we brought nothing into this world, it's certain we're not going to carry anything out of this world. We came in with nothing and we're going to go out with nothing. Then the Lord transitions into a very well-known discourse that he has with the disciples. Verse 24, I'll just read verse 24 and verse 27. He says this, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And then verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then verse 31, it leads to verse 31 where he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Just learn to seek the things, the kingdom of God and the things of God. He says, all these things will be added unto you. God will take care of us. He'll take care of our needs. So he makes the message that he was speaking to the disciples and those that were also there with the disciples. He makes this message oh so clear. God wants us to absolutely put all of our confidence in him. Is that where we're at today? We need to ask ourselves that question. And if not, it needs to be, especially during this time. I mean, it's been true throughout all of time in history. All the way back, we've needed to put our trust in God, but certainly at a time like this. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26. And again, we won't have time to turn to these verses, but I hope you'll write them down. It says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. The Lord shall be thy confidence. And again, I ask the question, is that true of you and I? Jeremiah 17 and verses 5 through 8. And I won't read all those verses, but that basically says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. We need to learn to put our trust in the things of the Lord. Now, there are a number of ways in which we can put our confidence in the Lord. And the first thing that I want to bring out is for those of us that that are saved is to be confident that he hears your prayers. Be confident that he hears your prayers. So we must be praying. It is important. I think that you think what's been going on here this last year would prompt a lot of people to be praying. And I hope it has. I'm certain that it has. But for you specifically, can you answer that question? Yes, it has drove me to prayer. And that's a good thing. So we must be praying. David said this in Psalm 55 and verse 17. He said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David was confident of that. David knew that God would hear his prayer. And David said, I'm going to be praying throughout the day. The Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing. It's important for us to keep our minds and our thoughts on the Lord and always looking to him throughout the day. I want to challenge you to do that. I challenge myself to do that, to keep my thoughts upon him. Now, if you're here, or not here, but if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you're lost. Every one of us were lost until we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this, as a whole, the Lord doesn't really listen to the prayers of a lost person. He knows all of the prayers that are brought forth unto him. The ones that he listens to, the one he hears, are those that are crying out unto him. He hears the prayers of his people. That's why I would say to you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then I would exhort you and encourage you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him for salvation. He died for you on a cross. Well, let me back up. He came as a little child and into a man, and all through those 33 and a half years, he never sinned. And he came to fulfill the law for us, because we had broken the law. Every one of us were sinners. And so he died in our place when he went to that cross. And he was buried and rose again, and he died for you. And if you're here or you're listening without the Lord Jesus Christ, then he wants you to put your faith and trust in him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, for those of us who are saved, the Lord promises to hear the prayers of his children. It's a great thing to be called a child of God, to be called a son of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 is a great verse to look at that. Now, listen, every one of us, we all have our times of doubt, and I speak to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Even David, we were reading David in Psalm 27, but in Psalm chapter 10 and verse 1, David said this. He said, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? So even David had his struggles. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart, but he was human. And there were times when he wondered if God was hearing his prayer. And so let me say this. It really is somewhat of a normal thing now and then to sometimes feel that way. But let us get right back to the Word of God and squelch those doubts and realize that God does hear us. Even in times when we don't really are aware of His response, He is listening. And God is just doing some things. Now, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did and the fact that He died for us, we, upon His merits, the merits that He accomplished for us when He went to the cross, we can come to the throne of grace. It's because of Jesus Christ, and we come in His name. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." Let me read that verse again because it's a great verse. In whom we have boldness and access. We have accessibility to God because of what Christ did. We come unto the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do that. We have that accessibility because of the fact that we have, He's given us this confidence, with confidence by the faith of Him. He's given us this great confidence, and it's a wonderful thing. Hebrews chapter 4, another great verse, at the end of that chapter, it says this in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Write that verse down and look it over after we get done, after I'm done with this message, because that's just a verse that really ministers to us. God wants to give us grace to help in time of need, and we certainly find ourselves needing that during these times. Our accessibility to Him is certainly not based on, you know, our cuteness or our delightful personalities, none of that, nor in our manipulative ways. Is He going to sitting out in the living room with her grandpa and her mom? And then it was time for her to go to bed, and her bedroom was right off of the living room. So her mom and her go, and they have, she's ready to tuck her into bed. They have their prayers, and as they were praying, the little girl prayed loudly. She prayed loudly for a baby doll and a tea set and some roller skates, but very loudly. And her mom said, "Honey, what are you doing? God is not deaf." And the girl said, "No, but Grandpa is." So sometimes we have a way of just trying to manipulate our way toward God for Him to hear our prayers. No, it is simply by claiming His promises and trusting in Him. He said this in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God says, "I want to show myself strong on your behalf." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." So it is important, and I want you to understand this, Christian. I'm speaking to those of you that have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that this is key, that our fellowship must be right in order for the Lord to hear us. Yes, He does want to hear our prayers, but we have to do what He tells us to do from His Word, and that is to make sure that we stay in fellowship with Him. It says in Psalm chapter 66 and verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So we want to make sure that we come before Him regularly. 1 John chapter 5, and there's a lot of verses that I'm throwing at you, and I hope you'll write them down. Chapter 5 of 1 John says this in verses 14 and 15, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything," and listen to this part, "according to His will," anything according to His will, "He heareth us." We know He hears us. "And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." It's just wonderful to know that if we pray something according to His will, He says that He'll give it to us. If we pray for wisdom, if we pray for comfort and strength, the Lord promises to give us those things. Now, He might not give it to us immediately because He may be trying to teach us some lessons, but God does take care of us, and He provides for our needs. And it's good for us to just know that God does hear us. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7 and 9 speak about how it's important for us to maintain our fellowship with the Lord. Verse 6 of 1 John chapter 1 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So that's why it's important for us to walk with him. The very next verse in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's why it's important for us to just walk with the Lord. And then, of course, verse 9 tells us how to stay in fellowship, how to get out of verse 6 when we're walking in darkness, and get back to verse 7 where we're walking in the light. Verse 9 is such a key there, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's important for us to keep our fellowship right, and that means we need to confess our sin and stay in fellowship with him. So secondly, now I want to talk about another way for us to, as far as showing our confidence in the Lord, be confident that he's working in us. Be confident that he's working in your life, that he's working in my life. He has given us many, many promises throughout his word. There are many, many verses that we can look to. Don't ever lose sight of this, you or I, because this is the basis for us to just have that strength and that confidence that we are on a solid foundation, knowing that he is working in us. It's amazing, again, the promises, or that he promises to be there and that he guarantees to work in our lives. I mean, this is the great God of heaven, and the fact that he has promised to do that is just amazing in itself. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's that word again, being confident of this very thing, that the one who started that good work in you and I when he saved us, he promises to continue to work in us from day to day. We just need to let him, and let him work to a high degree, to a high level. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God has promised to do a work in us, and we just have to believe that. You know, there are a lot of people that, like to make some promises to us. Hey, I'm going to be there for you. You can count on me. And then the next day, we're like, where did they go? They didn't show up. You know what? God is faithful to his word. And men are not always faithful to the things that they promise us. The Lord wants us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he works in us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says that we would be conformed to the image of his son. That we would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what he's wanting to do as he works in your life and in mine. We need to make sure that that gets cemented into our hearts, in our minds, and just allow that to be imprinted in our hearts so that we would just not lose sight of that. And then to be confident in his word. We want to be confident in what his word tells us. That's why we need to be in the word of God. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6 says that I may boldly say the Lord is my helper. The Lord promises to be our helper. And that's why we need to stand on the fact that he wants to do this work in each and every one of our lives, that he's working in us. The best thing that we can do, folks, is submit to him. And again, let him do this work in us at the highest level. Now, understand that when the Lord is working in us, he's going to allow us to go through some things. He's going to put us through some things that may not be desirable or may not be preferable as far as how we're concerned about it. But he's doing that because he is trying to build us up and to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So understand this, that everything that happens in your life and everything that happens in my life is not by accident. But God knows what he's allowing and what he is doing in our life. It's much more preferable, folks, to let God do his work in us than letting the devil have his way with you and I. And if we rebel against the Lord, we're really putting ourselves in a bad place, and we're letting the devil have an open door. And we don't want to do that because, folks, no one has the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. He knows how to work on each and every one of us. He knows the little idiosyncrasies in your life. He knows those things in my life. He knows every detail about us, and he's concerned about those details. That's what amazes me, and it's something that we need to really just get our hands on and really get a grasp of, that he cares about us that much, that he is going to work out all of the details in our life. I'm finishing up the book of Genesis as I'm starting my Bible reading again from the beginning of the Word of God. And as I'm reading through, I'm reading about Joseph's life. And you think about Joseph's life. Joseph was an incredible type of Christ, almost to the highest level of any other Bible character. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold as a slave into Egypt. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was imprisoned. He was forgotten. But in all of that, there's no doubt, because of how you watched Joseph and how he went about his life, he knew that God was working in his life even during the darkest times. And there were certainly some dark times in Joseph's life. So that lesson should really impact us and certainly carry over into our lives, that God is doing a work in you and I. He's doing a work in your life. Job said this in Job 23 and verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God is doing that work in us, and he's refining us. He's refining you and I, and may we just allow him to do that in our lives. And then finally, let me bring up this last point, and that is, be confident that he gives direction. He gives direction. It's a good thing to know that God gives direction. He shows us the way that he wants us to take, and he makes that clear to us. Sometimes, maybe not in our time frame, when we would like it at a certain amount of time. God knows when to make those things clear. And you might not know an answer right now that you're praying about, but just keep trusting the Lord. He'll show it to you in due time. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, those are those great verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God will direct you and I as we just learn to trust in him. Now, unlike man, God gives advice that is sound and sure. Not that men can't give us sure counsel, certainly they can, but not 100% of the time. I mean, you know, what are we hearing? We're hearing from all the experts, you know, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, and all kinds of other things. And, you know, the experts, really, they may know a lot of things, but there's things that they don't know. And I wish that they might just come out and say, you know what, we're kind of taking a guess here. Yeah, they call us experts, but we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know exactly. They don't usually do that. They usually like to put that expert thing right in our face, and we get a lot of that. And really, the one that knows all things is God. And God knows the way this is all going to play out. And it's just always best to put our hands or our lives in his hands. God has always led his people along, just as he led the Jews in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 40, that's the last chapter of Exodus. In those last few verses, 34 through 38, that's a great passage for us to read. But basically that says that he led his people with a cloud by day and a fire by night over the tabernacle. And he was letting them know that what his will was, when he wanted them to pull up the stakes and go head down the road or stay where they were at. He made that abundantly clear. So if you and I will stay in his word, it is so important for you and I to be in the word of God every day. It tells us, folks, how to live. It tells us how to relate to other people. It tells us how to treat other people, those that are near and dear to us and those that are just acquaintances or strangers. But it tells us how to treat people. It tells us how to pray. And folks, it even tells us how to die. It tells us how to live this life, and that's why we must be in the Word of God. I want to challenge you to take your Bible and read it every day. And you might maybe have not started with a Bible reading plan through this year. It's not too late to start even now. We're barely, 2/3 of the way into January. So I want to encourage you to start reading the Word of God. We can be assured daily, folks, that he is leading us. And that's just a comforting thing to know that. Colossians chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul was inspired to write to the church at Colossae, he said that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. That you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, and that is what God wants us to have. He wants us to know what his will is in our life, and how good that God is, that he would take care of our needs that way, that he would express it in his word. And quite often, we end up neglecting this more often than we should. But I think of this passage in Luke chapter 11 and verses 11 through 13. It says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, if ye, and the answer obviously is no, a good father's not going to do any of that. But he says, if ye then being evil, because that's what we all are, we're intrinsically evil, we're fallen creatures. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And that's unique the way it's stated, but we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And the Holy Spirit, he ministers to our spirit, to our heart. He is called the Comforter. And it is through the Holy Spirit, as he works in our life, he's God. God, the Holy Spirit, working in us. And he helps us through difficult times. He reveals things out of the Word of God. And he does comfort us, and he strengthens us. What a wonderful thing that we have a God who will take care of you and I. And I want to encourage your weakness, and I speak to myself as well. Admit our weaknesses and our blindnesses, because we all have them. And if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, then God will be honored by that. Jesus said, I came into the world that they which see not might see. And isn't that what happened in our lives? We came to a place because God worked on our hearts, and we realized we were lost, we were in a dark place, and we cried out unto God. And God took us out of a dark place, and he made us children of light. And now we belong to him, and we have the light of the world living inside of us. What a great thing that is. And so as we look about, yeah, we don't have all of the answers and all of the why fors of what's taking place, but you know what? A Christian that's walking with Christ and in his word can really see this more clearly than anybody else can, that God's in control, that God's using it. And then may we just understand that God wants to use it for good. God wants to bring people to Christ. And so may we be a light for him. May we be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So folks, when it comes to staying on the right path, make sure, again, to you and I, let's make sure that the Lord is our confidence. Be confident that he hears your prayers. Be confident that he's working in you. That's such an important thing to understand and to know. And then be confident that he'll give you direction. And for those of you who might be listening today without Christ, again, I want to encourage you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call us here at Cornerstone Baptist Church, and we'll be glad to be a help and to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell you how you can know Christ as your personal Savior. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you know, we're living in a time when all of what's taking place has created a lot of concerns and a lot of fears in people's hearts and lives, as I mentioned earlier. And you know what it does? It causes people to try to find a shelter of some sort. People are trying to find a retreat of some sort. A lot of people who don't know Christ are looking to things that aren't so good. and some people are just trying to find an escape. And some people they're looking at various things for their confidence. And I would just challenge you and encourage you that Jesus Christ is the greatest one that you can put your confidence in if you'll trust him as Savior. And let me just say this to Christians as well, to believers, that we can do the same thing. We can end up going and finding a retreat or take a trip or go here. And that's not always a bad thing. But boy, let our first recourse be that we will look to the Lord as our confidence. And God will reward that, and God will honor that. And so I leave that with you today, and we'll go ahead and we'll have a word of prayer right now. And then Brother Ray is going to come, and we'll finish off today with a hymn of invitation to you right there in your living room or wherever you might be watching us. Now, Father, we thank you today, and we're grateful to you. Thank you again for your word as you took this parable and you spoke to the disciples. You gave us a message about covetousness, but also about putting our confidence in you, putting our confidence in God. Would you help us to learn the lesson of this parable? Help us, Lord, not to try to, obtain a whole bunch of material goods or look this direction or that direction for some comfort. May we learn to look to you for our strength and for our help. And if there's anybody listening that doesn't know Christ, I pray you'll work in their hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ today. We thank you once again. We're grateful to you. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Rick.